You're listening to Around Comics, episode 273, The End, Part 2. Chicago, this is Around Comics, the comic culture podcast, where each week our revolving panel of guests talk about
fucking end.
Talk about everything in and around the world of comic books and comics culture. Hey there, folks. Christopher and Eastman here. This is the second part of our final of our farewell episodes and
the longest death rattle.
Yes, it is.
It's ever heard. The Bataan death march of comic book podcasting. It is.
They just won't die. Well, I'll tell you real quick because we have a call-in guest on the line, so I want to get everyone introduced. First of all, Brian Salazar.
Hello.
Mr. John Suntress.
Hello.
And on the line, one of our absolute favorite creators, favorite people, and
favorite hat wearers,
and the guy that we said, you know, for way, way too long, you should just be as cool as this guy. He's Mr. Andy Parks. Andy, how you doing?
I'm doing good, guys. How are you doing up there? Is anybody squirting tears yet?
Yeah, we're all squirting tears.
Hi, Andy.
That's my Gomer Pyle for you, Andy.
Sal's just been trying to keep me well inebriated, and I'll probably start crying here in a little bit. But no, the tears have not been flowing yet.
It's only 9 o'clock here. I figure by 10:30, Chris will be
a blubbering mass.
Yeah, yeah, he's only drinking a fifth of the fifth so far of Jim Beam.
Yeah,
so.
I usually come in with a half pint, but for this one, I had to stop by the medicine store and get a fifth of Beam. So I think we're all set.
But good for you. I'm questioning the logic. Was there some thinking that somehow being inebriated, you would be immune to crying?
Yes, yes. That was my plan, Andy.
Let me tell you, sons of bitches, one thing.
Chris, take it easy.
And before I go. Cocksuckers.
Hey, what's his face? The baseball manager.
Oh, Lee. Yeah, I'm going to do a
Lee Elliott.
I'm going to do a Lee Elliott.
Sparky Anderson. I've always been fair with you, cocksuckers. There's actually a great tape that survived of him talking to a reporter, and he's just being matter of fact about it. He's not mad at the guy. But he's like, no, I'm serious. I've always been fair with you, cocksuckers. And the guy's like, yes, you have, coach. You're right. Absolutely.
We are cocksuckers. I imagine Andy going out like that. That'll be Andy's last speech.
No, Andy's a gentleman.
Absolutely.
I didn't know
a scholar.
I see him going.
I get one Hollywood check, and you're going to hear a lot of that.
Well, hey, man, it has been way too long since we talked with you, and you've got a lot of stuff going on. You continue to do fantastic inking work, but you have been you've been a busy beaver on the writing end of stuff, and we should probably get into another Green Hornet debate because you're working on some Green Hornet stuff.
Yay. Jesus Christ!
I was going to say maybe Sal should leave the room for a while. We're going to talk about that boring asshole Green Hornet.
Andy, I think I'm going to forever. I've been signing copies of Green Hornet tonight. People have been asking me that. I'm always going to be linked with Green Hornet now. I just want to make the record.
Let the record show
that I never said Green Hornet sucked. The entire conversation started with me just saying, I thought Green Hornet was kind of a strange character. That was all I said. And then it, you know,
I jumped on him like he was like, he thought it was green and horny.
Green horny. Yeah. The green horny.
The green and horny. Yeah. It's not the same book.
Yeah, if you notice that French accent, that's Christian Alamy decided to pipe in.
Is he there? Hey, Christian.
Yeah. Christian, have a seat.
Oh, you mean you're doing Christian?
What?
Here,
is Christian actually there, or is somebody imitating Christian?
No, Christian. He's here. He's here.
No,
that's man.
The one and only.
Yes, Christian. Okay, so
inkers unite. This is good.
We have some of the finest inkers in the comics industry.
Absolutely.
Yeah, except I can't write.
Yeah.
Yes.
I wrote a postcard to my parents once. Does that count?
Close enough.
All right.
So Andy, why we are talking about Green Hornet? You are actually working on Green Hornet Kato, correct?
I'm doing a couple of projects right now. I think I can talk about both of them. One is a Cato miniseries that's based on Kevin Smith's Green Hornet mythos. And the other is a prequel to Kevin Smith's Green Hornet book that deals with the dwindling mob scene around Century City as Green Hornet kind of pulls all that stuff down for the final time.
So that would be the Van Williams, Bruce Lee pastiche, whatever is represented in the first issue, correct?
Right. Very cool. The Kevin series starts with all that winding down with them, with Green Hornet and Kato taking down the last of the mobs and retiring. And so I'm dealing in the prequel with what happened just before all that. In my Kato series, I'm dealing with Kato 20 years down the line, having retired to Japan and had a family, and then picking up the story of his daughter as she becomes the new Green Hornet song, or new Kato. Sorry.
New Kato. Okay.
But I thought when Kato retired, he moved to France and started to work for Inspector Clouseau. Instead, I was like, I must have the wrong one. Damn.
Bert Kwok. Awesome. Love that.
I should have at least one scene where Kato bursts out of a
closet.
Starts fighting for no reason.
Or just some sort of illusion that, he's going to work for some French inspector or something like that.
I think you should have the Green Hornet and Kato beat the living shit out of at least one guy named Sal. In that,
that'd be good. Yeah, really, that's a good idea. Have like an enforcer or somebody like that named Sal.
John likes
they're smacking around.
Just smack him around.
Sal had a stellar episode last time. First, he was setting me on edge with saying Commissioner Doolin over and over again.
Yeah, it's Doolin.
Sorry. Yeah. Don't. Yeah. Well, I was kind of drunk. Then
he was basically tearing my paychecks in half.
I'm always here to help, Andy.
I had a mountain of emails and instant messages on Twitter of people going, they don't know what the hell they're talking about, John. The Green Hornet rocks. You're right. And I'm like, don't worry. It's okay. Everything's fine.
And I don't hate Sherlock Holmes either. I just want to make that clear.
Oh, good.
That happened off the air. That's all right.
So, Andy, you've got all the great Green Hornet stuff coming out. What's the word on Chia Dad?
It is being drawn, and that's going to be kind of a lengthy process. It's a pretty intense. I wrote it on an 8-panel grid. Not every page has 8 panels, but there's a lot of drawing involved. So that'll probably take a year or so. And in the meantime, Oni just said yes to my next project, so I'm going to start writing that pretty soon. And that's a noir thing that's set in Vegas.
Cool.
Nice.
What era?
It's modern, but it involves characters who are very anachronistic.
Okay.
So one of the characters stepped right out in 1955, so I get to write a guy like that.
Fantastic. Let me go back to Green Hornet for a second, because I'm just curious. Will your Kato series, will the character first appear in what Phil and Jonathan Lau are doing, and then your series will start, or will your series introduce the character first?
You'll meet her, I think, in their book first. Okay. I would guess 2 or 3 issues of their book will be out by the time ours comes out.
Okay.
And it takes a couple issues of our book to really get into new Kato wearing a costume and all that.
Did you ever read the Now Comics 90s Green Hornet stuff?
No, I'm embarrassed to say I haven't. I probably should have dug that out as research, but I did not.
You know,
did that stuff? Is it creators I would know?
Ron Frontier, the guy who used to write Hulk as well?
Yeah.
Right. I think it's, again, obviously I'm a fan of the character, but I think in a lot of ways what Dynamite is doing with the character mirrors what Now did. Because Matt Wagner and Aaron Campbell's Year One, your projects, and then also Brett Matthews' project, they're not connected. They're 3 different tracks. Am I correct?
Yeah, and it's kind of an interesting thing. And actually, the first time I pitched Kato, we were not on the same page because I was kind of pitching Matt Wagner's Kato, having spoken to Matt about it, what he was doing.
Okay.
And then somebody had to say, whoa, wait a minute. This is Kevin Smith's Kato, who's not 80 years old now. He's 55. And this has happened to him. And so, yeah, they're kind of different universes, different takes on the same mythos.
Cool.
Nice. Well, the big question, Andy, have you bought any new hats lately?
I have, of course.
What do you got?
Let me think. I was really excited. Oh, I just traded. I tweeted about this. I traded a hat with another hat aficionado, and I got this lovely Borsellino straw hat that it turns out came directly from Steve Harvey's collection.
Oh, nice.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Is there
He's a big hat guy, and I guess the guy I traded with had donated to his charity, and Steve had given him this hat, and it didn't fit this guy, so he traded it to me.
You know, it was funny because I was talking to another creator. It may have been Norton, and I was saying, you know, if you really want to track down Andy online, he'll post in a forum here or there, but if you really want to find Andy, go to fedoralounge.com.
Sexhatfetish.com. That's usually where you'll find
Andy. It's really true. Yeah, are
there,
true.
Is there like a black market for hats? Is there sort of an underground hat world?
Is there a forbidden hat that we're not aware of?
Exactly. You know, like I don't know.
I'm sorry, sir. That hat is not allowed in the United States anymore.
Is Hitler's hat on? You know, out
Hitler's
there.
Hat. That kind they of saved Hitler's hat.
Hitler's boiler. You know,
the funniest and weirdest comment that Andy has ever directed towards me. I started getting, you know, kind of the idea of getting into hats, and I bought a couple, and Andy and I were talking about it, and you asked me what my hat size was. I say it's a 7 1/4, and you just look at me and it's like, oh, if my head was 7 1/4, oh, the hats I could own.
He covets your hat size.
you covet my head.
Interesting.
But I
totally sad. Yeah, when you got a giant noggin like mine, you go on eBay, and guys, you know, weren't as big in 1940.
He's right.
Yeah. And the big hats are harder to come by, so
yeah,
I'm kind of limited. And thank God, I got like 50 hats as is. I don't need any more.
You ever talk to a hat maker? I got to sacrifice 3 hats to make 1 for him. Are you nuts? There's no work in it. There's no business in it.
Well, I did buy a new fedora this past winter, so I got to send you some pictures of it. I'm quite proud of it.
Have you guys gone to the store that's on Irving Park Road at Six Corners?
Yeah, Hats Plus. Yeah,
and have you taken Andy there?
I have not, but Andy?
I have not been. I want to go.
Hats Plus, my friend.
It's a great hat.
The only hat place I've been to in Chicago is Optimo, who is one of America's best like custom hat makers.
Optimo.
That sounds like a super
villain. I can't remember where he was. He's not in the city. He's out a little ways. I went and visited him, but I can't afford one of his hats. They're like $500 plus.
Yeah. Well, and that's what I love about Hats Plus. It's really a no-nonsense hat store. I mean, there's no pretense there.
It's a great. Andy, when's the next time you're going to grace us with your presence here in Chicago?
Well, I'll be there in April.
Are you coming into C2E2?
Yeah, I decided to make the trip.
Awesome. Fantastic. That's
I'm excited. I think that's gonna be a really exciting show being downtown and the first one put on by these people. I'm excited.
Is Phil coming?
Yeah, Phil's gonna be here.
Yeah, I heard that too. All right. Well, I owe you guys both a couple of drinks at least for all the fucking Green Hornet. Just my fucking luck. Like, all my friends are writing Green Hornet books now. Great.
Giant Nexus is going to kick your ass, too.
I think you owe us each 2 drinks, and Phil doesn't drink, so I'll take 4.
Okay, no problem. You got it. Just smooth things over with Phil, and
I'm talking. I'm talking to Phil on Monday, but I have a feeling that episode might be out about around the same time that this episode comes out. And Andy, we'll talk about the Cato miniseries as well. So don't worry. I'll balance out the Green Hornet hate that Sal has.
Honestly,
plenty of Green Hornet love on Word Balloon.
Honestly, getting out of a con with only buying Andy 4 drinks is pretty.
A bargain.
Yeah, that's a bargain for me.
Absolutely.
Yeah, quite honestly.
Yeah,
so.
that's below standard. Well, I'll tell you what, you come in on Thursday, we'll go to Hats Plus. Try to
get a stage. Okay. All right, good. And I wanted to say something seriously before you guys cut me loose. I want to say thanks because you guys do this as well as anybody. I've listened to a lot of comic podcasts. You guys are the ones I kept coming back to, and you helped me make, for better or worse, a lot of comics because you guys kept me company through a lot of late deadlines.
Very cool.
And you're always fun to listen to, and I've enjoyed your company. I'm going to miss you.
Well, you'll miss the show, but you won't miss us because we're not going to let you go. Don't worry about that.
Good.
I will pester you from now until we're old men buying hats at old men hat stores.
Good deal. Good deal.
That really, truly means a lot to me, and I'm sure to Chris, too.
Yeah.
I don't want to talk for you, but really, you have no idea how much that means to us.
It was it was an afternoon at the place that Sal and I worked together, and I remember Sal saying, Chris, come here, and I go over by his desk and he had iTunes pulled up, and it was your review on iTunes, and that was no shit, Andy. That was the moment that we both kind of looked at each other and go, oh shit, they listen. And
it's true, man. You guys keep a lot of us company, and it's really appreciated.
Well,
I mean, the year before we started doing the show, it was Wizard World Chicago,
yep.
And I had bought got Union Station and, and
Capote, in Kansas.
And Capote in Kansas, and got them signed from you, and was thrilled. I loved those books, and that was right before we started doing the show. And then yeah, it was you know, all these years later, sitting here and being able to call you a friend is something real special. So
it's a pleasure for me too.
Yeah. Well, we will celebrate that that friendship in April. Make sure come on in, and the first four drinks are on Sal and I.
Deal.
All right. Well, hey, Mr. Parks.
Thanks a lot, guys. Have a great final show. All right.
Absolutely. Well, we're about halfway in the tank, so you caught us at a good time.
I'll be the designated driver for the show. Don't worry, Andy.
All right, good. Andy. Thank you so much for the support, and we'll see you soon, buddy.
All right, take care, boys.
Later, Andy.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Silver naked lady.
All right, and a big thanks to Andy Parks. Not just for joining us tonight, for
but he got me Andy Parks. He got me fucking misty.
You know, it's
first son of a bitch.
I promised myself I wouldn't cry.
I didn't want to say this why Andy was on, but
here he goes.
One single tear. One of the things about the show is, I mean, we, Sal, you and I have made a lot of acquaintances in the comic industry and community. You know, a lot of people that we love seeing at shows and bumping into and that kind of stuff. But we've also made friends, like yes. Real friends that it's, you know, we talk to on a fairly regular basis. You know, email. It's like I email Andy about hat shopping. And that it's seriously.
I know
it's
you
like,
do.
It's like, hey, I'm going to go for a hat. You know, I'm going to shopping for hats. I'm going to email Andy.
I'm not as good about keeping in contact with people as you are. But
well, you know. I mean, well,
that's why the court orders, restraining orders, don't come to you. Yeah. They come to him.
But no, sir, I mean, you and Scotty are
absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, you guys
no,
have.
No, but
you
but have guys like Andy, I mean, I consider Andy a friend. There's guys like that. Yes, we've made great friends with. Throughout this
man,
industry.
You guys had me all fooled. I thought this was a whole. Long introduction to me being on the show right now.
We'll get there.
Well, you know, and not to get, you know, too silly about it, but you know, we're both in our late 30s now, and the
very old, late 30s,
everyone here at this table, we're joined by Patrick Brower with John Suntress here. You guys know that the older you get, the harder it is to make
the grayer your balls get.
Well, the harder it is to really make friends. You can, you know, have acquaintances, but the older you get, your life gets complicated. You have wife, kids, that kind of stuff.
And then the people that are good friends, you hold, they mean even more to you because they're.
Absolutely. And this show has done that. You know, I consider John and you, Patrick, friends, just like Andy. And
right back at you, Chris. Oh. Sal and John.
And Patrick Brower is here. And I know that this, you know, I hope that the last couple episodes don't sound like a big billboard for C2E2, but that is the next place that we're all going to get together as a group. So this will not date well, you know.
Regardless of being your last episode, this is what it would be anyway, because it's the only thing we're all focusing on.
Yeah, exactly. So, you, the proprietor of Challengers Comics Conversation.
Oh my God! Can you say that here?
Challengers Comics.
Oh, you know,
no, I'm kidding.
It's
I'm
like saying
kidding.
Benson and Hedges in a Lucky Strike ad.
I just want Beatty's got a shotgun behind the counter, so just to let you know.
I wouldn't blame him. I'd have
like drinking Coke and Pepsi.
No, it was so funny. Patrick comes into the store tonight and he's got like a clipboard, and I'm like, "What are you fucking taking? Are you taking inventory in here?"
I got a list of things that I need to get for the store. And I was in. We did an event with Chicago Comics a few weeks ago. I did the same thing. I had a list and walked around, and two different employees come up and said, "Are you taking notes?" No, it's my want list. It's things that I'm looking for to buy.
Mysteriously Unfathomable.
They group the Vertigo books with the Dynamite books.
I still can't say it.
And he writes that down in his little notebook.
No, it was right. You got Unfathomable right that time.
Unfathomable.
Okay, see, when you think about it, you do it wrong.
Unfathomable.
That's perfect.
All right, I got
perfect.
It.
Perfect.
Thank God. I just loop that every time he has to say it.
Like normal, just talk.
So we have this big get together convention coming up in a couple weeks here.
Blowout.
But you guys at Challengers have you You are so like me.
The beam's kicking in.
You.
You listen. Yeah. No.
I love you. No.
You think you're better than me?
I love you.
That's when we know. That's the tipping point. That's what I'm waiting for.
You don't know when to say no.
You think fucking like Green Hornet is better than me, John?
You have so much stuff that is lined up at Challengers.
Chris, it becomes a point where we said, you know what? Let's do it. Let's try to do everything possible. Let's not take a day off or a second off.
The whole week leading up to the events that are coming up.
So Wednesday?
Okay, here's how it breaks down. First of all, I want to get into a brief bit about the branding of C2E2 because I think that's kind of a terrible name. I think that it's going to be a great show.
Windy City Comic Con was not available.
Good point.
But it is for sale.
It is available for price.
Everybody knows what San Diego Comic Con is because it says Comic Con.
Right.
And it's great that they're doing these banners all across the city. It's fantastic. But the average person that just see C2E2, what is that?
What the hell is that?
Yeah, and in a few years, everyone's going to know. It's going to be perfect. It's going to be great. They're all going to know. But these first two shows are going to be the toughest as far as getting people to understand what it is. And people come to the store still, and they say, what is C2E2? It's the Chicago Comic and Entertainment Expo.
Yeah, but, you know, there is a train of thought that says getting people to ask questions is not the worst thing in the world.
That's true. But so, you know, then you're relying on other people to explain it for you.
Well, no, absolutely. But there is, I mean, in this day and age of marketing, because of the saturation points of marketing, and there's...
No, that's a good point. It's like, go
try and buy a domain name for some original idea you have. I guarantee you it's already been purchased.
Yeah.
So having people ask questions isn't necessarily... I agree, C2E2 isn't necessarily... Classic,
I mean, I like
in
Chicago
classic
Comic
marketing
Expo.
Thinking, it's not a great name.
Is it the Alex Ross poster that's being plastered all over the place? Because I haven't seen it.
No, it's not. It's the yellow and blue pattern that they have.
Ew. Is there any indication that it's comic books on the poster?
Nothing.
See,
that's the problem.
That is a problem, then, yes. Because, I mean, if you see Iron Man, the Hulk, and
we got
and Thor,
to go through the walkthrough, and they showed us a lot of the signage you're going to be using, and it's all that yellow and blue pattern with the red C2E2 and that Crush Godzilla font.
Yeah, yeah.
And this is nitpicking, and they're such great guys, and they really
know
how to run a show. It's going to be amazing, but I'm just focusing on that. Anyway, I'll move on from that and go to
what you're doing.
So this is how our week is going to look. Wednesday is the day that we're allowed to bring all of our stuff to the show. So Wednesday we'll have our vans, we'll take the store, break it down, load in vans, bring it to the show, drop it off. Come back to the store, we're going to have Emma Caulfield from Buffy the Vampire Slayer. She played Anya.
Hot.
Thanks to the guys over at Pop Cult, she's going to be signing. She does a webcomic called Contra Pussy.
Yes.
kind of like a Sex in the City with cats kind of thing.
Exactly, yeah. Yes.
Google Emma Caulfield.
Christian Bernick, behind the comic mind behind Cosmopolis.
She's going to be signing that. We're going to be doing an exclusive Challengers cover to that book, a little limited edition, 100 copies of that.
Awesome.
And she'll be there starting 6 o'clock. That's Wednesday. Thursday morning, the Diamond Retailer Seminar is in town as well, at the same time, which we can't go to because we have too much
else
going on.
You're setting up for the show, yeah.
But they asked us to host a panel on Free Comic Day because of how well it usually works for us.
Mm-hmm.
So 9 o'clock, from like 9 to 11, Dal and I have to go to the Sheraton to do that. Then Dal has to go back to the store to start setting up for an event Thursday while I go set up the booth all day Thursday at the show. We had a this is post-dated, so this should all be fine. We had an IDW event scheduled for that night, but they just changed the date to Saturday for us.
Mm-hmm.
So we have something as to fill in the gaps on Thursday, but I don't know if it's official yet, so I don't even know what I should even say. But it involves someone here with a horrible Irish accent. So Friday, first day of the show, great. Friday night at the store, after coincidentally, there's an irredeemable panel that Boom's hosting from 6:30 to 7:30. No, I'm sorry, 6 to 7. Something like that.
At the show.
Immediately after that, at the store at 8 o'clock, we're having the first anniversary party for Irredeemable. It's a birthday party, but it's also the launch of the Black Phoenix Alchemy Lab Irredeemable Fragrances.
What?
The Black Phoenix Alchemy Lab, it's crazy. They have scents for all different properties, 1,000 different Neil Gaiman scents, for real. It's like 9 different Stardust scents. They're doing a whole bunch of stuff for Neil for the Comic Neil Defense Fund right now.
I'm wearing Boy Detective right now, and no one knows.
Wearing Death.
They have, I'm not kidding, 10 different scents based off of the Irredeemable universe.
That's awesome.
That they'll have some at the show. There's an exclusive one they'll have.
This up?
I am
Are
not.
You pulling
I am
my
not.
Fucking chain?
Go right. You got your computer out. Look up Black Phoenix Hobby
Wade
Lab.
Is going to lather himself in that
not
stuff.
Not to be confused with Jeremy Tinder's Black Apple Ghost Factory, but Black Phoenix Alchemy Lab, this is what they do. And I was talking to them today about this, and the people that love them are crazy devoted to them. And this stuff does amazing. I mean, I never thought of doing it before. I never thought of the idea of... They already have a line of Hellboy fragrances. They do, yeah.
I'm wearing Ape Fabian right now.
They're partnering with Boom, and they're going to have a bunch of fragrances. There's two available
smell
only
like
at the show.
Demon.
Six or seven that are available everywhere, and then one only at the store for the birthday party.
No way.
Super limited edition, yeah. So that is Friday night. Saturday, show as well.
Right.
Then we're going to have another party at the store, the IDW premiere party, celebrating them being a premier publisher with Diamond.
Saw that in the news, absolutely.
We're going to have a ton of IDW people there, Andy Schmidt and Chris Ryle.
Great.
And, probably Chuck Dixon. He's not signed on yet for sure. Robert Atkins. A bunch of people.
Good. I hope Chuck comes.
I'm not sure the details on this yet, but there's a stipulation where if you spend $25 in the store, you get 2 minutes to pitch Chris Ryle your comic idea.
What?
Oh, that's hilarious.
Yeah, no, for real.
Chris Gage will be there too, obviously.
Yeah, Chris, yes.
Nice. Outstanding.
Awesome.
That's Saturday, right? Sunday is the show.
Yes.
We'll have a full booth. We've got a double-sized booth. We're going to have a bunch of surprises there. A couple of people that shouldn't necessarily be at our booth, which is awesome. And we should be debuting something of our own there as well.
Can I pitch Chris Ryle like 12 ideas in 2 minutes? Because I could easily come up with...
You got 2 minutes, so sure.
Yeah. 40 fucking ideas I have that I could pitch.
But just remember, Green Hornet is taken.
Oh, well.
That's an established thing. You can't do anything with that.
Damn shit.
The Green Bee. Think of it.
Green Bee.
The Brown Hornet. That's what Bill Cosby did. Stinger!
And then we're going to wrap up the whole weekend on Tuesday night with... excuse me.
Getting for Clem.
Take a breath. Raina Telgemeier and Dave Roman, they are kids authors. They don't usually work together, but they've done a couple of those young adult Marvel manga books like X-Men, the Wolverine one. They did a Logan one. And she had a book come out called Smile, about a girl having braces. Mm-hmm. And they do a lot of kids events across the country. They do a lot of, this is an audio-visual presentation. There'll be like a PowerPoint. There'll be reading and stuff like that. And that's going to end on Tuesday night. So it's a huge, and we're actually very happy to have them because it's every event is targeted toward kind of like you get the Buffy fans, then you get the three superhero events in a row. And then you end with the kids event, which is good.
That's nice. Awesome. That book, Smile, by the way, very cute.
Isn't it cute? It's very adorable.
And I know so many women that have seen that and gone, oh, I need to buy this for my niece. This is perfect.
It's a little bit brutal because the main character falls and loses her, like violently loses her two front teeth. So some people are like, oh my God, oh, but that kind of reaction is still good because kids do that kind of stuff all the time.
Of course they do, absolutely.
Yeah. So they're super great people, and they're used to working with kids, and we have our own kids read-along group that we do called Challenge Juniors, and this is a nice way for somebody else to do something like that too.
Nice.
Have you revealed your project that I'm aware of that has been buzzing around with the Challenges for Kids thing that our mutual friend?
I have not.
Then I don't want to. I'm not going to make you spoil or anything.
However, John is alluding to something going to come out probably around the late summer.
Wonderful.
Yeah, it'll be spectacular.
Very exciting.
Have
project.
You seen some of the video for that?
No, I haven't. I've just been hearing about
it's
the participants,
hilarious.
And I'm looking forward.
I feel so out of the loop.
Can we name some of the people involved?
Okay,
if not
so,
what the
so
project is.
Here's what I'm
comfortable doing. I'll let
here's
Patrick.
What I'll do. The Challenge Juniors events that we do on the last Saturday of every month, we get together a group of our friends and we take a kid's book like Bone or Magic Trixie or Amulet.
Scary Godmother? Didn't you do Scary Godmother?
We did Magic Trixie.
Oh, excuse me. Okay.
So we read all the voices. We record all the voices, and on the last Saturday each month, we play it back in the store for kids to read along within their own copies of the books, but we're all doing voices and stuff like that. And, you know, we don't sell it. It's just a fun in-store kind of thing. People said, why don't you put it on the internet? Well, we don't own the property. We're just doing it for fun to get people involved. We did Tiny Titans, and Art was Robin and a bunch of voices. And it was hilarious because we had to keep editing out his laughter during the recording.
Yeah, man.
And when we did Magic Trixie, Jill actually hosted the read-along event. But usually it's just us and some friends. Well, there's a local publisher who was alerted to that we do this and got really excited. So he's doing his own version for us. We won't say with what, but the people involved.
You will know them all.
From every facet of life.
Yeah.
Yeah, it spans the pop culture world, and you'll be shocked. It's like a Love Boat gone wrong. It really is.
Yeah.
In a good way.
It really, like, it, anywhere from Dave McKean and Grant Morrison to.
Now you're naming people.
I am naming people. To. I'm sorry?
Should we name one of the sports people involved?
Sure, go ahead.
Randy Couture of the UFC.
UFC what? Champion Randy Couture.
Who is the publisher involved?
I totally.
This?
We're not saying that.
Yeah, exactly.
The girl, the lead actress from Mirror Mask. What's her first name? I can't remember. Leonidas. Oh,
yes.
I totally. I apologize greatly.
I was wondering if some of the people that have already been mentioned might be participating in the reading as well. I was wondering if Emma might be involved or anything like that.
Oh, I don't know. We tried. We'll see now because there's still one more part to be cast.
Oh, maybe.
Also, huge celebrities, Dal Bush and Patrick Brower have a role.
Absolutely. you're the Captain Stooping of Gopher of the ensemble to keep the Love Boat analogy
and there's
going.
Even rumors of Vern Troyer, Jonathan Winters.
Jonathan Winters?
Yeah.
Seriously.
Patricia Arquette and Thomas Jane.
Wow.
But those are not confirmed at this point and may not happen.
That's
all we'll say for that. Well, but it'll be a blast.
Not bad.
All right. Well, hey, Patrick Brower, I want to thank you so much for being part of our last episodes here.
It's my pleasure to be here. You know, it's funny because of all the ones I've done of these, I've only ever bothered to come here for the 24-hour Crankcast, the 24-hour podcast.
24-hour comic podcast.
Where I actually met both of you guys, or actually most of you guys, and we didn't get along that night.
It was like 4 in the fucking morning. I was drunk. I was cranky.
Was Tabor behind it by any chance?
No.
Oh, Jesus. But you know what?
We all wanted to kill Tabor.
I misinterpreted some things you said as an attack on the store that I used to work for, and you are absolutely welcome to attack them as much as you want. And you were pretty much right. I just felt like it was my job to defend
at
the time. Yeah.
You know me. You know, if there's one reason why I am very argumentative now in my life, it's
Jesus.
Because of the man sitting across from the table.
Well, how do I get the fucking blame for this shit? You're worse than I am.
You made the Green Hornet cry.
Okay, you know what, Sal? I think it's that right there.
I'm not saying that I'm used to being fucking attacked on this show.
you just have to explain yourself. Thank you guys for everything you've done. I know this has been a giant ass-kissing last show for everyone saying what a great job you did.
Well, we appreciate
it. But you did. You guys have done a lot. You've done a lot for my store, and I'm thankful for that. I'm more thankful that I know you guys now.
Well, you know, it's Chicago. We have a wealth of riches in comic book stores, but I feel pretty honored that with Dark Tower and Challengers to have gotten to know both of them. Or with Challengers and Dark Tower. Hey, remember, you're like a Cardinal fan at Wrigley Field right now, Patrick, okay?
And you're wearing red.
And you're wearing red. True. All right. But, no, I mean, we have some great shops in this town, but I feel like I know the shop owners are two of the best.
Well, thank you.
We have great shops, but we have even better shop owners.
Absolutely.
Oh, that's great. Here's a shot of Jim Beam for that.
Oh, boy. But, no, like we told Andy, it's the show may be winding down, but this is not a friendship that's going to end whenever we hit stop.
I have no doubt about that. And when New City holds for the future, it's been a great to be part of that. Sal has done so much for us that I don't even ever want to mention because you don't even want the credit for what you've been doing. But just a tremendous amount. I'm happy to be part of this family no matter what.
Yeah. Well, you are part of the family, and it's a pleasure and know that you came by. And you want to take a break for a second?
Yes, I need to pee.
All right.
I bring that to everybody. I mean,
all right.
All this sentiment is caused by urine to
increase. My bladder is.
Let's go pee.
Expanded.
March by Chopin.
Yeah, that's good.
Frédéric Chopin.
Okay, Mr. DJ.
Throw your headphones on there.
Should play Hot Chocolate.
Hot Chocolate?
1971. I said that for Hilsa a second.
He's just riffing on something. I don't know.
All right.
John's just talking.
We're back. Exactly. Who are we just talking to?
Who before?
Yeah,
Patrick.
Patrick and John.
John.
Patrick.
Who cares?
You've heard a little bit from one of our guests tonight, Mr. Christian Alame.
Yes, hello.
Hello there, sir.
Hi, caramba.
And this is the inkers section of the show.
Yeah, we have lots of all of our guests are inkers.
Our inkers. Around Comics is the chosen podcast of inkers everywhere.
Well, you know, they late nights, staying up, trying
always,
to
ink. Always at the end, yeah. You know.
The losers deadlines. Of the industry.
I thought it was the angry old farts.
Well, there's that, too. There's generally, they're on the show.
Mr. Hilary Bardet.
Yeah, hello. I'm trying to sound like an inker.
What are you?
A crusty bunker.
Wait, you do look like an old fart, so you might try... You might go for that one.
As long as I don't smell like one.
What are you drinking? Oh. What are you drinking there?
Oh, it's a Goose Island holiday brew. It's really good.
Naughty Goose?
Naughty Goose, yeah.
You're drinking a Naughty Goose. Wonderful.
That's a 40-ouncer you got. You're hauling around in a paper bag out in the streets of Chicago. Cheers.
From now on, I'm going to drink a Jim Beam. I have no idea what this is.
It is it is
loud in here. There's some people in this place.
If you can't tell, it's become a party.
Yes, it has definitely become a party.
Well, I'm cool, chugging right? beer, and Christian it's is very, chugging Jim Beam. So
I've had a very good night so far tonight. It's been a lot of fun. We should end the show more often.
Yes, we should have a bunch of final shows.
Do this like Rolling Stone style. We do this like every month. We'll just end the show.
I was thinking that, you know, during the Super Bowl, we were watching The Who, and someone brought it to my attention that The Who had their first farewell concert in 1980.
No, really? 1980? Well, there you go.
It's the long goodbye.
If you're an actor or a rock singer, like whatever, a rock star, you should never announce your retirement. Never, ever. That's the stupidest thing.
Well, it sells tickets, though.
Comic book artists dream to announce their retirement. They can never retire anyway because they can't afford it. So that's just like the difference.
But think of it. Like,
at our funeral, we'll be doing sketches. You know?
Yeah. to pay for the flowers.
They're coming up. They're not going to kiss the guy in the coffin. They're going to ask for a sketch.
Hillary, one more. Okay.
Hey, for my cold, dead hand, you'll pry the pencil.
Oh, you kind of look like Charlton right there.
Thank you.
It's like the left-wing Charlton.
Dead or alive.
Hill, how you doing, man?
As he drinks a nasty goose. Or
yeah, just wait till I get the beer in
there. He's got a mouthful of naughty goose.
He almost died for his funeral we were talking about. Sorry.
I'm fine. I'm just choking on my beer. No, I'm fine. Yeah.
Yeah. What?
Actually, Christian, I've been inking a French comic, though I don't remember the name of the artist. I think the album's name is Alunys, Alunys.
Possibly. I don't know it. France is a country that has the population is like 60 million people.
Here's you don't like know the, them all? Is that what you're telling me?
No.
So what you're saying is it's just slightly larger than Chicago.
It's actually one-fifth of the U.S. As far as population goes. And yet they published like last year, as far as I heard, like something like close to 2,500 comic books. Wow. And we're talking about hardcovers, right, like, you know, the way they're done there, and all that, 2,500 albums. That's huge. That's huge. You can't like a high like a retail price and all that.
Yeah.
And you get like so many.
What does an album, converted to U.S. dollars? What does an album average album in France sell for?
Well, I have no idea anymore, but I would.
$380.
$380 grand.
You never heard that.
No, it's my guess. It's somewhere between like $20 and $30.
Okay,
yeah, something like that.
So it's like a
and
they're
such a huge
like a
production.
Marvel hardcover.
When I left France, I knew like everyone in the business pretty much, or so it seemed. Not personally necessarily, but I knew who everyone was.
Right.
And now when I go back, I go to a comic book store, I look around, I'm lucky if I recognize one or two names.
Really?
That, yeah, seriously. That's
so, I mean, is it a situation where there's just a lot of turnover, or...?
Comic books are doing really well in France. They are the fastest, and they have been for a long time, the fastest growing like segment of the whole publishing business. Yeah. I would suspect they are not far here either from that, especially considering like the way publishing business has been going in this country.
Yeah, it's kind of like being the tallest midget. Yeah.
And comic book artists are recognized there as like artists. You get museums with exhibitions and all that. That's a whole different thing. Like,
considered.
At the same time, you get a lot of people just like here who will be hired to do one comic book because the publisher just wants to occupy space in the whole business.
It's so funny.
And we'll never work again. That's the sad thing.
Every day, I generally open up my RSS feed reader and just different feeds. And I subscribe to a lot of different blogs about art and different kind of stuff. And it's always funny when I look at a lot of the stuff that are not comic book art blogs, but just, you know, general art blogs. And I look at a lot of the stuff that is very popular in art. And compared to comic book artists, I look at a lot of this stuff and just go, wow, it's really a lot of shit out there compared to the amazing illustrators that work in comic books. And it's such a bizarre, you know, back you know, years and years and years ago when you had, you know, illustrators working in commercial art and fine art, that kind of stuff. And comic book art was sort of considered
lowbrow, very lowbrow.
Yeah, very lowbrow. And but to some degree, it still is, and it makes no sense because the greatest illustrators in the world work in comics.
Absolutely.
Because they don't, you know, you don't have
James Jean, Alex Ross.
The greatest illustrators today who work outside of comic books, you can count like on the fingers of your hands, basically.
Well, I'd
everybody
say,
else,
I'd
the
say
greatest talent goes to comics. That's the natural
and Hollywood. That's the other place. There's
and Hollywood.
Sometimes they cycle through, but you've got these guys you never even hear of because they don't do illustration anymore because most illustration is photography, digital.
Right.
They do design work in Hollywood. You know how many guys work on the big movies that you know, they don't publish, they do publish books.
Yesterday
stuff,
evening, but I was like on the computer, like, and I went to this site, you know, the Heritage auction site, like Heritage Auctions, like whatever. They sell like original pages and Silver Age comics, basically.
Okay.
I think, like, you know, expensive stuff, auctions and all that. And the good thing is, like, they get like high-res scans of like the pages they sell. So I just googled like a little-known artist, one of my favorites, called Neil Adams. You probably have never heard of him.
No.
And
he's one of those guys that did one book and then he disappeared.
Did he work on Dead Man?
Who knows?
Briefly.
Who cares? I mean, like,
I did mention
I saw the first Batman movie sitting next to him, which is unbelievable. Like, love that. It's true. So I started to download like all these high-res scans of Neil Adams' pages, which is beautiful because you can see you can steal the ink stains and like the whole thing. You can see basically the work of someone. And I'm like, holy shit, that's beautiful. Going back to the sources, you know, like the stuff that got me like basically like almost in a trance when I was a teenager.
Sure,
like,
sure.
Just out of my mind, like of jealousy and envy and excitement at the same time. It's like in comics, like every artist will tell you that. Like the you always feel jealousy towards great artists, but a motivational jealousy, not the sad kind.
Yeah,
you know, like
it can either make you cry and want to go in a closet and never draw again, or inspire
you
never happened to me. Yeah. To me, it was always like, oh God, I gotta beat that guy.
I've
beat Neil Adams. well, never, but the you know what I mean. It's like,
I was just looking at a high-res scan of a Bernie Wrightson Uncle Creepy pinup page.
Oh, wow.
And I don't even know if it was a published one or not, because I didn't remember seeing it in a magazine before. But it's the kind of thing where you just blow it up, and you're looking at the brushstrokes, and you can tell on the scan what's white out even, you know, and what isn't.
Yep.
They did it in grayscale, so you can really see. You know, it's not quite like having the original in your hand,
but it's close.
It's actually even better in a way because you can blow it up.
Hillary,
you should
have grown up in France. We had like this company called Futuropolis. We used to make like a beautiful, like a large size, like a comic book artist, art books about comic book artists. And like, there was one about Bernie Wrightson, about that tall. I mean, I'm talking like about like the size of an original
for
page.
For those listening at home, that's about 2.5 feet.
That's about the size of my penis. But okay. The
it looked like a yard. Yeah.
And
he's
well,
hung like a Frenchman.
I am. I have great calves and great penis. That's the rest.
We saw the calves.
Like,
we saw the calves earlier. I don't know about the penis. I can't speak to the penis.
Viva la schlong.
The calves he's got.
Only if you're lucky.
Let me ask you guys this. I'm a very frustrated amateur artist.
I thought frustrated something else.
Frustrated something else.
Frustrated everything.
Penis
but,
talk.
Yeah. No, but I mean, I still try and draw a little bit here and there, and it's funny because I've actually probably put more time into it in the last year than ever in my life of like actually trying to learn because
that is funny.
Well, it's kind of sad.
I don't know. I'm just sorry. I was picking on you. I don't know why. I went cruel.
You're a very insensitive person. In these particular times,
I'm not trying. I have no.
But you're still enjoying
that
amateur
status. I'm just doing it for myself. I have no illusions of I'm going to be a professional artist. It's not going to happen. But just to be a better artist for myself. That's all.
Well, you and I are alike. I have no illusions I'm going to ever be again a professional artist. Since I'm so slow and it takes forever, I can't do anything right.
I hear that.
But going back to like that envy you were talking about and that you know, it's like it seems like every time I see a new artist that blows my mind, it's like, oh, I want to draw like that. Oh, I want to draw like that. Oh, my God, I want to draw like that. Oh, and it's like, but they're all different. It's like, how do you sort of ever get to your own style of stuff?
But there's two things here, as far as I'm concerned. One is like, you never do. You just like, you forget everything. Personally, I haven't, I used to follow, I was saying that to Chris Burnham earlier. I used to follow all the artists I admired like closely, like look at everything they do and like just like go out of my mind, like excitement and jealousy and just like, oh, this is so great. And then things change. I got older, I guess, like too busy. I got ill. I recovered, thankfully, and all that. And I just like forget. I don't follow anything. I look at the comics DC sends me and that's it. I forget. I'm in my own world. My hobbies are of nothing to do with comics, so I am in my own world, and I just like recreate whatever comes out of my hands, and that's it. I forgot about the rest, so now I'm with myself. But originally, I would guess like the excitement alone is like motivation alone. Somebody gave me a great advice when I was 16. Is like, you want to draw like a pro? It's like, don't wait tomorrow. Don't wait like, oh, when I grow up, I'll do it. Like, do it now. Mm-hmm. Do it now. And the guy who gave that advice to me was a guy who was like an unbelievable artist. He was like me. He was 16. And the guy could draw like you've never seen. It's like, he was a genius. I believe that to this day. I've lost touch with him like for 20 years now, but...
Stan Lee.
He was a published at 16. He was a published comic book artist in France, and he could draw like and paint like you wouldn't believe. Like, and then he got like absorbed by the art world. He wanted to do a performance. He's like, oh, bullshit, like basically. And I've never heard of him again. He was, which is why, like, actually, little parenthesis here. Like, parents should never wish their kids were geniuses, because geniuses don't amount to much like later in life. Like, let's be honest. Everybody wants their kids to be a genius, be in the best school. Oh, he's so smart. Oh, look at it. Oh, he puked. Oh. And it's like, what do geniuses do later in life? They worked as actuary, like for like a fucking insurance company or something like that. They don't do much. That doesn't work that way. Life doesn't work that way. It's whoever works the hardest.
Then that's the problem with geniuses, is they never learn how to work because they never have to until it's kind of too late.
It's like asking a basketball star like to fill in like a gas bill or like something like to pay his gas bill. The guy is not equipped to do that.
No.
Also, you never stop learning, and nobody gets there just purely on natural talent.
Right.
You are learning somehow. Either you're absorbing it because you have a natural talent and it just seeps into you, but at some point you won't advance unless you work at it.
And that was, like I said, I mean...
And I knew, I knew the same kind of geniuses that could always draw better than everybody else. Mm-hmm. And they had sketchbooks and sketchbooks and sketchbooks. but they couldn't put a career together. And those, you know, to some extent, they're different things. The work, doing the work, but meeting the deadlines, being professional, you know, that kind of stuff. There's just like all kinds of levels of, you know, being successful.
And one of the things with you, Hill, it's, I think we, if I'm thinking back through the history of the show, is that we really kind of became aware of you and your work whenever we started to really explore EC Comics. And it was, I don't know if it was just happenstance.
Back in the 30s when you were doing that.
Because I look like, you know, the I look like the Crypt Keeper. Maybe more like the old witch now with the long hair.
The stuff we love of your work is
there's a question. Hold on, before you ask your real question, Chris, nobody cares about you. Like, Hill, how come you have a full head of hair and I don't?
Well, to some extent, you do cut your hair. I mean, you're talking about balding patterns now? I mean, losing your hair?
Yes, it goes beyond cutting, trust me.
But you cut some of it. It's not awful. Yeah.
Hillary always has great fluff.
My dad had really good hair. You know, never lost his hair. So I guess I got my dad's hair.
Strangely, my dad was bald, as far as I can recall.
So there you go, genetics.
We have just made... That was a scientific show, baby.
Hey, guys. You guys have figured something out here.
And Chris, you got an enormous penis, so what kind of trade-off is that?
Yeah, right. Come to think of it, you're such a loser, Hill.
But no. I don't know if it was through happenstance or just happened to be that, you know, whatever, that time of the show that that we were really getting into EC and exploring
EC
that.
EC 101,
which Sal put together, which if you have not heard that, go back, listen to Sal's EC 101. It's a great episode. And we talked to you about EC, and certainly Jack Davis is a huge influence on your career, and a lot of those guys from the EC troupe influenced your art style. And so
Wood more than Davis, but and the people that came from EC and were influenced by EC.
Wright Son and Wally Wood.
Right. Well,
that's why I see in Hill.
Jack Davis. He's got it because Jack Davis influence and Graham Ingalls were big influences on Wright Son.
Okay.
But I saw Wright Son before I saw any of those guys. Because, you know, I mean, I actually did see the Mad paperback reprints. But, I, you know, Swamp Thing was on the newsstands. Bernie's stuff before that I saw.
Severn.
Oh, I love John Severn. But, you know, what we were talking about before, there's so many artists and so many styles. There's artists who I emulate and I'm in, you know, because I like their style somehow. It seems like what I want to do
But
there's other artists that you're inspired because they're so great, but you never want to. Like, John Severn is not someone I ever thought, I could draw like that.
Right.
But his work, I think of him as somebody like the Howard Hawks or John Ford of comics. Well, I'm more like the Jacques Tourneur, to make a crude film analogy. You know, I'm more just this moody atmosphere or something. That's not what Severn did. Severn just had this really great, straightforward storytelling. Incredible draftsmanship.
I think every artist who's like influenced by someone else, there is a connection, obviously, like between someone you admire and yourself. You can't. Some people admire like different artists, okay, and they want to emulate them. In some cases, a lot of people admire the same artist. Obviously, these guys have like, you know, something like a really high going on. Archie Goodwin put it best. Like, he was talking about Moebius.
I love how you say that.
Who's my favorite? My favorite artist. I mean, my most influential. Like the guy who blew my brains off when I was younger.
There are many people that he didn't do that to, myself included. Yeah.
And there is real name Jean Giraud in the Blueberry comics. It's like, it's the best things I've ever seen. Like, a nice blueberry. You look at that stuff. You're like, nobody draws like that. No one. And just the perfect mix between classical illustration and pure dynamic comic books. Basically, very classy stuff. Archie Goodwin said but Moebius is like, when I look at his stuff, it makes me feel like I can do it.
Yeah.
And that's just like, that's what great artists do.
It looks effortless.
It looks effortless, and they trick you into it.
I love that Moebius did a Silver Surfer story that was written by Stan Lee. That I kind of look back.
Moebius hated it.
but I
hated the American deadline.
Oh, I'm sure. I'm sure. Yeah, but I
he's
look
like,
at,
I'll never do that again.
I look at that story, and it is this really amazing bridge between European comics and American comics, but it's also a bridge between generations that you saw, you know, the Marvel style, and then all of a sudden it overlaps, and it becomes this thing that bridges these different styles of comics together. And I always love that Mobius did a Stan Lee Silver Surfer story. I love that.
It is truly like the encounter and like the clash.
It's like a confluence of stuff, you know?
Totally different worlds, which in the end belong to the same universe. I guess that's the best way to put it. That's wow.
And stop laughing at me,
that
Hill.
That was deep. I'm sweating.
I was
now.
Laughing at the banana splits or something somebody was playing in the background.
I just said something very deep, and you were like laughing about.
Well, no, I was listening and not interrupting you. So I agree with you. Mobius is one of those guys where, and I really think there's few artists like this, really, that really just seem. It seems like magic what they do. And his art, you know, I mean, you know how many artists try to draw like Mobius? I mean, probably Adams is another guy. Maybe in the States, people have emulated
him. In Europe, we got Bilal, Manara, like all these great guys
in their own right,
are all like under Mobius's in some ways.
Manara, all these guys in Europe, tons of guys. I mean, there's probably a few dozen.
Mobius is like Europe's Neil Adams. Honestly, that's like the best way to describe it.
Kirby obviously was a huge influence, even though I don't think anybody could draw like Kirby.
Kirby was like the genius everybody looked up to. But who tried to draw like Kirby? No one, because everybody deep down kept thinking, oh, I'm better than him. I'm going to use the energy. But it's true. There's a hypocrisy here.
Kirby's style is more idiosyncratic. It's more like handwriting. It's really hard to emulate. The guys that tried to do it, they basically swiped the style. They never kind of figured it out from the inside out.
Kirby is beyond an artist, in my opinion, and especially not an artist in the comic book sense of the word. Kirby is a creator.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And if you think
people
can do
have been trying to emulate his creative spirit, no one has successfully done so, as far as I'm concerned.
No one
tried to emulate his drawing.
And Kirby, you can look at and think that a 6-year-old drew it, and a genius drew it.
Yeah. That's the thing.
That's the thing about him is like when I was 15, I looked at Kirby's stuff and went, "This is shit. Yeah. This is a child drew this." And now when I'm 40, I go, "Oh my god, he's fucking brilliant."
And then you realize.
I'm gonna say just one name and tell me what you think. Van Gogh.
No, absolutely. Yeah, sure.
That's the same thing. It's like boom.
There are artists.
Can't explain
that,
it.
There are
it's
artists
Big
that,
Bang
that look,
genius.
There are people that look at Kirby and say, "Oh, I could do that." It's like, okay, do 1,100 pages in a year.
Well, that's all.
And come up with all these characters. You know why? Because Kirby had like this childlike genius. I think it was like not complex. I think all of us as artists, like sadly, we carry a lot of complexities. Or if I do that, it's going to look like this guy. If I do that, it's going to look like that guy. I want to be here or there. Kirby is like, fuck it. I'm just, that's what I do.
He channeled,
it's like ejaculating your art.
I love it how Christian can say that. None of us could get away with that.
Ejaculating your art.
But because he's French, it sounds.
Doesn't sound as dirty.
It doesn't sound as dirty.
It doesn't sound dirty, Chris.
If you did it in an Irish accent, it would
make
it sound
classy. I love your forearms. Till we have disappeared, because we're moving from east to west, across the grain, it's meaningless. On the borderline, nothing is real except for.
I still have Wayback Machine stuff to go through.
I know, we got Wayback Machine, we've got emails,
Wayback Machine, what are you talking about?
I went and looked up a bunch
Sherman
of stuff.
Sherman and Mr. Peabody?
When we first started the podcast, which was February of 2006, I went back and looked on a lot of the comic book news sites and different places to see what was going on at that time, just to kind of give us a perspective of what maybe has changed since then or what hasn't.
or just sort of some of the
Oh,
irony.
What has changed is like when I was like hot and fancy, I drew the Joker with long hair because that was I look at it back now and I cringe.
I want the
artwork is some of the best I've done. But
I want that
like
Joker
the,
story published.
Oh, it's been published. Oh, no, the other one. Yeah, we're doing with Doug.
Yeah.
You know, yesterday I was looking in my thing. Uh-huh. Oh, you've seen the pages. You
yes,
came to
I
my
have.
Face, yeah.
Can we mention that?
Of course, sure. I mean,
should we not mention it?
No, why not? I did already on that show like once.
I've seen pages from the hopefully eventually released Joker Year One.
Oh yes, I've heard of the Joker
yeah,
Year One.
I don't know if now there is going to be like changes in the story. Anyway, Keith Champagne wrote this wonderful script. Doug and I started on it like in early 2008, and it's going to be a 64-page like hardcover like comic book. We have about 20 pages in the drain. I mean, that means like about 12 for me because I still have 8 pages uninked from that, which look gorgeous. I should scan them actually. Like the
they're awesome.
They look beautiful. It's some of the best that we've done because it's Doug and I, but having all the time in the world. I mean, I'm talking about like seriously, like taking our time and just like flowers, and except. Then we got started on Final Crisis, then Green Lantern and all that, and I don't know what the status of that book is. We're just like, everybody says, oh yeah, we'll finish it at some point. I don't know. It's a beautiful thing. It is, believe me.
But Chris, tell Doug how much I like his stuff.
You'll meet him at C2E2. We need to hang out all together. Like, it's not going to be too far from like Greektown.
No,
all
well,
of us
let's,
need to go
oh,
out
we're
and
going
have
to Greektown?
Some Greek food. Woo-hoo.
Sure, let's do Greektown. Yeah,
absolutely.
Greek is some. He's Doug is from of Greek descent, as I am. So he's Pete Tomasi.
Christian, we know, and you're half Greek.
So he's a
French,
certain
Irish
Jean,
Greek.
You're French, Irish Greek. Are you part?
I grew up in a Greek neighborhood, so I have Greek food all the time from my neighbors across the street.
And you recommended to me La Unica, which is where I live.
Oh, yeah, you go there now?
I live by. Yeah,
yeah but
I
you've
can
been
say
there.
Too many fans.
But you've been to La Unica. Not that it's Greek
fucking
food, but
fan club following him around.
But you haven't called me up to go over there. I'd join you for lunch.
No, call you like I have time. I never get out of the house. I mean, my pajamas. How do you say in English? PJs.
Yeah, yeah.
Your PJs.
PJs
all day long.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
You know, like scratching around, like for lice and all that. Like just, you know, it's bad.
You could probably walk over there in your PJs to La Unica.
I'm so glad that you made it out tonight. I emailed you today. I gave you terrible late notice on this and said, I don't know if I can make it. And then you're like, okay, I'm gonna
say it right now so yes. There's witnesses. I want downloads of all the podcasts.
Okay.
Especially the ones I've been on, but even the other ones.
Okay.
You guys saved that shit, right?
They're all
online.
You can go
online.
Go to aroundcomics.com. You can
download
them.
I've tried to download.
They're
doesn't
all
work.
There.
Get them through iTunes. And by the way, we're going to keep
you do
the,
that. Oh, we're genius.
We're going to keep the feed. Yeah, yeah. We're going to keep the feed alive for about a year. So you know, through at least through 2010.
Yeah.
So
I'm pretty much convinced at this point we're not even going to stop. This
yeah,
is all a sham.
Well, you
yeah,
can have
yeah, yeah,
some
yeah, yeah,
bullshit. You can have the last show, the final show. You know, one
no,
more
no,
show.
Hillary, do you want them to stop?
Don't stop. Podcasting.
I don't want. No.
I'm sorry. I can't sing, and I just proved it yet again.
I'm gonna cry.
Hell yeah! I saw you got a little publicity for your limericks.
Don't stop
what about
me
publicity
now.
For them?
I saw. I think it was Heidi from the Beat.
Really?
Had mentioned your limericks on her blog.
I didn't even know
she
read.
Yeah, she did.
So, she's one of the lurkers, I guess.
I guess so. She
they're out
she
there.
Enjoyed your lyrics. Well, that, your limericks.
My limericks, yeah.
Limericks, sorry.
It's weird how where they turn up. They turn up in I'll see a reference to someone will reprint them on a political page somewhere.
Really?
Yeah, they turned up on some political blogs because I read political limericks as well as comic and movie limericks. Anyway, yeah.
So. Very cool. Very good. Keep them up.
But Christian,
oh my God!
What I was
going to
tell you is that
gay action.
What the hell's going on over here?
That's a French kiss right there.
I just did a short Yeah, French.
What do you got there?
But he did a short mask story.
His life.
Mini diddles.
What the?
Michelle was knitting here last time, and she left her knitting needles.
Oh,
and I kept them. So.
I see.
But I was doing a mask story, and they sent me a couple of the collections, and all of Doug's masks are in there, and you could see this amazing progress of him as an artist in the first couple of years. And there's like a couple issues. In fact, I don't know how much time passed. But the jump from one to the other, it was like the confidence, the talent, everything just blew up. And I swiped a panel of his. It was the exact same panel as what. Well, I mean, it's really obvious, but he'll know. But it was what was.
No one should hear that. This is a test of the Illinois emergency stem.
What was the series that
team,
he did?
Team Zero?
Yes. Yeah. That was the first.
That's where I fell in love with this art.
It was an homage, not
Zero,
a swipe.
Team Zero was there you absolutely image. Awesome.
Yeah. He did a series with Chuck Dixon called Team Zero that I fell in love with this art. But I will say, and this is not blowing smoke up your ass.
It's not mine, it's Doug's.
You Irish bastard. I love Doug's work, but Doug's work has never looked better than when it's inked by you.
Actually, it has.
All right, you're wrong.
I've seen some of the stuff he inked himself, like some of the less known stuff, like when he was younger. And we're talking Moebius range here. We're talking like freestyle, like. Freestyle, someone between Alex Toth and Moebius. I don't know. There's something.
Wow,
brilliant.
That's some high praise, man.
Yeah, yeah. No, seriously.
No kidding.
I know what the guy can do. I see shit all day long.
He's just good.
You put a polish to his work. That
I
is
put
fantastic.
A polish. That's what I do, and that's what I'm paid to do right now, and I enjoy doing it. I'm also putting like my own. It's like, oh, I would have done this like that, so I do it, kind of.
Sure.
Without changing the drawing, obviously. That's not like the point. But that's just a way to go at it. And I try to make sure things are polished, because that's what people enjoy. I kind of like the gruffy style he has when he inks himself better than what I do. But it's a personal taste, and you'd be surprised if you're a comic book artist, like what their own personal taste is when it comes to, for example, selling pages. Which ones would you keep for yourself, or which ones would you sell?
You never know. You never know.
You'd be surprised every time. People want to buy like the big splash page with Spider-Man or Batman like leaping from the top of a building. And,
the guys
like
that want to sell their pages. Those are the pages they go for. But the guys that are just keeping them for themselves, they're just something
just
about models, this
drawing. Like something about this face, this guy in the background, I just love and all that. And it's like, in Doug's case, I'm happy it works out. But between the two of us, I think it's one of these successful stories of like an inking pencil or team where like we create a third persona. And a persona that's good.
I would absolutely agree with that. 100%. That
we're talking about like guys like Neil Adams and Tom Palmer or Dick Giordano. I can tell. I mean, Neil Adams was always better in King himself.
Austin,
Sal Buscema, and Dan Akins.
The what?
Dan Atkins?
Dan Atkins, sorry. Yes.
And it's like, there's a long story.
I only say that
because
I recently realized that.
Who was the king? Guy
I don't
Guy
like
Davis,
a lot of Sal Buscema stuff
sorry,
unless Atkins
God,
is a Cole story.
Joe Sinnott inked him for a long time.
Mark Farmer. That's another one. Of
I was going to say that's David Price territory.
Joe Staten. Joe Staten did some nice stuff with Sal Buscema. Yeah.
I inked him once.
Sal Buscema?
Joe Staten.
Oh, Joe Staten?
Joe Staten, yeah.
Was that fun?
That was... It was between fun and a pain in the ass. I don't know. Like some stuff I was like, oh, boy, that was great. You know, like... And some stuff I was like, I don't know how to do that. And that's like, but I love the stuff. It was like they had like this thing a few years back at DC Comics, like the Power Company that was going to be next big thing.
I remember that.
And there was like a spin-off issue, and he drew it.
Yeah,
and
you did, like a pen, yeah. So anyway, I loved inking him.
For both of you guys, favorite
penciler
that you've been one for? Of the favorite guys that you've ever.
Well, inked. the first guy that I felt really like I knew what I was doing, and he was also really good, was John Bogdanov when I was inking Power Pack. And we
I love that guy.
I inked him off and on for a few years there, which I don't think I've had a stretch like that on anybody because I usually.
Bogdanov is an excellent artist. You can really go wild with him.
That's... And he, there's a sensitivity. I mean, this was he was drawing kids, and they drew Franklin. They brought Franklin Richards in as a character, and he drew his son as Franklin Richards. And it was just, I mean, he would draw him sleeping on the couch, you know? And like, you could tell there was so much love in that drawing.
This is the crazy thing. Is like, I grew up reading that book, and I loved Power Pack.
I love Power Pack.
And I had no idea that you inked that. You know what I mean? I just, when I was reading that book, I didn't pay attention to who drew it or wrote it, let alone who inked
it. It was just the story. Not something,
but now, and to sit here and know that you inked that, it's like, wow, that's just so fucking crazy for me.
You know what the weirdest?
Because I loved Power Pack.
This isn't really about inking, and maybe this is a real, a little side bit. But when I was, maybe I even told you guys this, but stop me if I have. When I was working on that book, I was talking to John, and John took over from June Bridgman, who was the first artist to do it. And there was this one guy who was the letter hack in every issue. He wrote every month, and he. He knew the characters better than the writers and the editors and everybody.
Sure.
And he would write these detailed letters.
Young Paul Levitz.
He would explain every little thing and why they... Well, and he always complained about... And he'd always finish every... Because it was all about the characters in the story. And then... And John Bogdanov is no June Bridgman, and I wish you'd bring her back, and blah, blah, blah. And he just... He would say that every month during John's run. And then at one point, June did a fill-in issue... And they were kind of like, so they bounced between the artists a couple of times when she came back, but they got the credits wrong, right? And they put her name on an issue that John did. And he wrote this lavish letter of praise about
the issue.
See, this is what I'm talking about, how great June Richmond is. And it was John McTannum. And everybody in the office just like, oh my God. I mean, you don't even have to say anything.
We can just
let this letter speak for itself and just say at the bottom, oh, actually, we're sorry. We got the credits wrong. That was
what is he doing today? Do you know,
John? I don't know. I mean, I know he moved to California. His son went out to school there, and I need to get in contact with him. I've got his email address now.
I have not liked Superman in the past, fifteen years.
Yeah.
Until Geoff Johns and James Robinson started to spin things around for us a bit lately. I didn't enjoy it except for one thing: John Bogdanov's drawings. Like all the time, it's bold. It's dynamic. It's strong. It gets out of the page. It's like it's daring. It's like it's got everything I love about drawing. It's unpolished. It's just like boom.
John once drew a self-portrait of himself, and it was him running down a hill wearing a Superman cape as a little boy. That's how much the character meant to him. And he named his son Kal-El. So,
no way.
Wow.
Well, Nicolas Cage drew these comic books. I did not know that.
Wow.
There you go.
That's speaking of Superman and you, one of my prized possessions at home is a Grant Morrison written, Doug Mankey penciled, and Christian Almey inked page from Superman.
Yes,
Beyond.
I remember that when you came with your gun in my house.
No, I got
you. You stole it from him.
I got him really fucking drunk and bargained him down to a ridiculous price.
You did not get me drunk enough. I would have given it to you. You dumb fuck.
Okay, but here's the story: is that I ended up getting home at 4 in the morning, and so I paid for that page twice. If you know what I mean.
Well,
no, I don't.
Because there was somebody waiting up for me at home that was none too happy, and it was not Sal.
Next time I try to sell you a page to squeeze $100 out of you, I should speak to your wife before. That's what you're saying.
Oh, absolutely.
What's a phone number? I'm gonna
clear
call
it with the boss.
I'll make it work. Don't worry. I'm good with women.
That's what
I'm French.
Hey, your reputation precedes you by about a yard, apparently. Yeah. Okay.
It might be exaggerated by about a yard.
I just went out to smoke a cigarette.
Yeah. I'll tell you what.
It's like W.C. Fields' nose has come around the corner. He'll be here any minute. You know, it's that old.
We had, in the 4 years of doing the podcast, we probably had two women ever fucking write us an email.
Yeah.
The episode after Christian is on, we had...
Have him back more.
Yeah, yeah. Have Christian on more for your female listeners.
Was this the sexy accent?
Do you guys ever read The Onion? Like the...
Yeah.
Do you remember Smooth B?
Smooth B.
Oh, that's a column. It's about this smooth black dude who's talking women into, oh, baby, I'm going to buy you some fine Courvoisier. I'm like, and all that. I'm going to have you some fine brandy and cognac, and we'll make love and all that. I was like, because I'm the Smooth B of comic books.
Smooth Christian.
Christian has...
He's the smooth C.
Hey, I mean... We've been lucky here tonight over these last couple episodes to talk to some of the real personalities of the show. You know, Tom obviously was the weekly, you know, he was the talent, but Scotty definitely put his mark
the
on weakening. The show.
No, the weekly.
Hillary and Christian have become these personalities and characters of the show.
I mean, if you've listened to our show over the last 4 years, the thing that is...
Hey, I am from France.
He's a Chris Burnham. He's a friend from France as well.
The thing that comes apparent
is my brother.
Is that the people we end up talking to more often than not has less to do with them being in comics than them being people we want to hang out with.
Absolutely.
Regardless of what they draw or what they ink or what they write or what they... It's just people we like, and that's...
Just like in life?
You know, I mean, that's the thing. It's the people that we enjoy, you know, spending time with, the good people.
I've met once a person in comics who was like a wonderful artist, who was someone I could not stand. I will not name him. And
Burnham.
Chris Burnham.
Yeah, that was him.
Besides Chris Burnham, the other guy.
But that's the only one. I've mostly met people. I have, like, in this country alone, like 17 years in comics professionally. And I've met, like, basically, you guys were all kids except Hill.
I resemble that
man, Hillary.
I was like, stop talking about World War II. Just like,
kids these days, their little panels, their little pen lines.
And everybody else, everyone.
Back when Wilson McKay was drawing
I've also met one or two pain in the ass editor, but that's it. Like, everybody has always been like, it's a laid-back business. There's not that much money into it, as far as we know. I mean, unless you guys have heard something, I don't know.
Yeah,
but
you guys are in the wrong end of the industry. Podcasting, there's nothing but cash just flowing.
Oh, man,
in.
I knew
you should have got into podcasting.
I'm sorry, did Hillary just say it all started going downhill with Popeye?
He might have. It's possible.
It was a different reference,
Steamboat Willie.
All right, for those listeners who don't know, like, Chris looks like Popeye. He's a hairy man.
He's got forearms like
you wouldn't believe, and he wears like football jerseys, which makes his arm like look even smaller for some reason, even like shorter. It's like Chris looks like Popeye. Where's the pipe? Never give Chris Nizam and spinach, man. You don't know what's gonna happen.
Hey, man, Chester, Illinois, right?
It's like I hear Marvel has like a whole like a crossover plan around that one.
Ultimate Popeye.
Ultimate Popeye would be awesome. Ultimate Popeye would be awesome.
You'll pop your eye out.
a superhero for the new millennium. All right. Well, do you have any other questions for Christian or Hill?
If I do, I'm sure I'll just call him or email him.
Come on, ask questions. It looks like we're real artists and serious and like to ask questions. You want my PIN number? What?
You're both going to be at C2E2, right?
That's right.
Okay. So,
sober. You'll both be sober at some point during the convention, right?
Why do you ask?
Just
come on.
Is that a requirement
for the kids, for the children?
You know what?
That might come.
Oh, I'm sorry. If children come up. up, I won't belch in their direction. Okay,
if you're listening to that, come early on Friday. Okay, that's all I have to say about that.
If that's a requirement, come early on Friday. Like San Diego. I think it's like you can get a contact buzz just from walking near my table in San Diego. It's a 5-day binge, you know.
Well, we're gonna go out Thursday night, and we got friends coming in from out of town.
Oh, so forget Friday morning. Yeah, you're going out Thursday night.
Hey, we're going out Thursday night. No, absolutely.
Next, he's gonna tell us what color he wants to paint his bedroom. Mm-hmm. It was like his wife. He's talking for his wife right now. You know that. I was like, just
All right. Well, I'll tell you,
such a pushover. It's oh man.
Yes. I think anyway, it's nice hanging out with you guys. It has been nice hanging out with you guys. We wouldn't come if you weren't so nice.
Oh no, no. Yeah. You know. We need to wind now. I want the show back. No, listen, guys. Wait a second. Chris, seriously now. I moved to Chicago 2 years ago. Chris has been like starting to bug me since last April, 1 year ago. For the C2E2 convention, a launch party where we met. Mm-hmm. It was like, come to that show. I was like, what the fuck is that? Whatever. So I just blew it off. Finally, I came. I was like, that's the best thing ever. And now he tells me it's going to stop. No. So now it's like, have you ever heard like Irish whining? It's like,
French Irish?
Oh, no. Don't stop. I don't want it. Don't kill you. Don't stop. I don't want it.
Hey, just bring it back whenever you feel like it.
Whenever we feel like
it. Then it won't be
which
like, you
is
know,
whenever I feel around. Like it. No.
Hey, there's a comic called Greek Street.
We'll see what happens. Who knows? But we appreciate you guys. You know, Hill, you've been a long time
friend of the show,
family, AC family member.
I live a couple blocks away. That's really the only reason it happened because I my life is all within a 3-block radius of my apartment. So
a fun
there's a liquor store,
lucky for
a restaurant.
Us. It's lucky for us that we were able to set up
exactly
in such close proximity to your apartment.
A fun Vince B story. My one of my partners on 11 o'clock comics. Whenever we first met you, Hill, and I talked to Vince, and I was like, "Yeah, we've got you know." He said, "Well, who are you going to have on the show?" I was like, "Just met you know local guy, been working in comics for a while, Hillary Barda." And Vince goes, "Hillary Barda, you lucky fucking bastard."
Well, how little did he know?
That's right. There's a lot of build up and then a big disappointment. Yeah. The letdown is huge.
No, not at all. Yeah. It's been absolutely a pleasure to
this is like the Jerry Maudlin show. Sammy Maudlin show, excuse me.
Well, Hill, I gotta say, I don't know if you're a great guy or a great artist. I can't choose. I have to choose one side, obviously.
I'm probably a better guy than I am an artist, but that's a sad truth.
I'll choose artist then.
Well, like you were saying, you know one guy who, you know, you hated him or he was a lousy human being, but a great artist. I've met more than a few really talented artists I would never want to spend time with.
You can never be like that close a friend of mine. Every like very close friend I've had are people I hated at first sight. Don't ask me why. And then became like very close friends.
So it's the first time you met Scotty.
Well, you've never invited me over, so we're not friends.
Well, maybe not.
We're not friends.
I haven't met him yet.
I'm sorry. I love you.
Well, guys,
we just spend time drinking together. I could say that about 6 guys at the bar named Chris, Joe. I'll never see you again.
I like Chris at first sight. Don't ask me why. It's the Popeye look, like the whole
the
thing.
Popeye
like
look.
Oh, you just see those forearms. You go hand job. You know, come on.
Well, you read my mind.
But I'm not cheap. I'm not cheap.
Great artists think alike.
All right, let's get rid of these.
And
two.
So, because
come on, we all have carpal
Lord.
Tunnel, we need your forearms, Chris.
I like
it's either inking or jerking off. Like,
Rosie the Riveter.
We
need these arms. What? Arms for America.
This is hour 3 of the goodbye.
Well,
it's never ending.
Yeah. I was going to say that you two are.
It's not a goodbye. It's a see you soon.
We were going to leave on a high note, but we changed our mind.
We left it instead
on a low.
On the low,
I don't
like,
know. God,
dirty
no. We're only an hour 3 of the 12-hour telethon.
This is for like 6 or 7 days.
Right, oh yeah, right. Yeah. This is
the
marathon.
The drunken deluge has begun. Sorry about that. I didn't mean to. You know, if your wife's listening.
Oh no, he gives great
his forearms are yours. Yeah.
No. Hey, no one's wife is listening. Can you ever imagine anyone's wife listening to that?
No, I couldn't.
My wife.
However, my mom is still trying to listen. No. Writing Tiger family.
All right, let's take a break.
All right.
The best way to ensure your wife won't listen to it is to tell her, here, you should listen.
You should listen to this, honey. All right, we're going to wrap this one up. We're going into extra innings.
I love you, Chris. I love your own comics. So, I love you. I'll miss you. Just a little more. Just a little more. Not the fingernails.
Jesus.
Oh, all right. My.
Probably.
Hey, guys. Have a great time. Probably, see you later. Have a great time.
Just in time for a...
Hill's a little more reserved.
See you in and around comics. I think Christian had to take a leak. He just ran for the can.
Probably just in time for C2E2. We're going to be coming out with our third episode. So
stay tuned for that.
Yeah. We got one more. We got emails. We got voicemails.
It's never going to end. It is never going to end.
Are we still on? Because that mask story is going to be on Dark Horse Presents next month, which is what? April? Early April.
Yes.
Yeah.
So if you happen to be stumbling around,
go check out.
Yeah. MySpace Dark Horse, whatever that is, whatever that's called.
MySpace Dark Horse. The mass story.
It's an Evan Dorkin story. Right. It's a short thing, but it's really funny and it's incredibly bloody. So
yeah, I was going to ask you. All right. Were doing some work with Evan Dorkin, and that's it, huh?
Well, that was it, and yeah, we both want to work together again, and I hope that'll happen. But that's what we did. Yeah, it's a little short, hilarious. You were talking about Mad and EC influence. Mm-hmm. Well, this is Evan saying I'm doing a Mad thing. It's a little out of control. It's not like Harvey Kurtzman. It's just, it's insane. It's really funny.
Awesome.
The guy, I don't know, the guy's funny. What
so
can
Dark,
I say?
Dark Horse Presents, which is online.
Yeah.
All right.
The MySpace. MySpace.
And then hopefully we'll be collected in the Dark Horse Presents next collection.
Sure, yeah.
Yeah. All right. Phil, we love you, buddy.
I love you so much, guys.
Thank you so much.
Oh, my God. What am I going to do without you? I'm sorry. I don't want to be a Christian.
Right.
I don't want to do a Christian and start,
yeah, don't pull a Christian
start ejaculating all over the page.
All right. Everyone, enjoy the rest of your week and weekend. Come back again next week.
We're not done.
Hour three.
We're not done yet.
All right.
Cheers, fellas.
In the meantime.
In between time.
We'll be everywhere in
and around the final episode.
Damned if I wouldn't go to church on Sunday. Look the preacher in the eye.